In Philippians chapter 2, we'll be reading verses 12 and 13. In verse 12, it says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." In this lesson, we will be focusing our attention on the danger of indifference. Indifference is defined as being apathetic, having no particular interest or concern, not active or involved. Unfortunately, the society in which we live can be termed the irresponsible society. For example, the politicians with the most lavishing promises are the ones usually elected. People want an eat, drink, and be merry existence while the government assumes most of the responsibility. The common attitude usually is vote for him and his administration because they will take care of everything, relieving society of society's responsibilities. And I believe that it comes down to this. There are some people who are concerned with what they can get or get away with, and not what they can do or contribute. Efforts are made to put the blame on others. Political parties are guilty of this. Democrats blame the Republicans. Republicans blame the Democrats for the condition in which society is in. Juvenile delinquency is usually blamed on the schools. Lack of interest in spiritual things is usually blamed on the elders or the preacher. But the passage in Philippians chapter 2 reveals what type of people we should be. We should be a responsible people, a responsible society. Now in the world, before we became Christians, maybe we weren't responsible nature. But we learned very quickly after obeying the gospel that we become responsible for a number of different things, being children of God. Christians are responsible for a multiplicity of duties. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. "Therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." In the broad sense, we are responsible of being not like the world, coming out from among the world, being different, not being caught up in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. But that's just the beginning. There are a number of intricate things that Christians are responsible for. And when we fulfill our responsibilities as Christians, we will inherit everlasting life. I believe that there is something that we all need to understand. And I believe sometimes we forget this. And that is, the Lord is able, the Lord is willing to fulfill every promise he has made to us. For example, look at Hebrews chapter 7. In verse 25. In verse 25 it says, "Therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he ever lives to make intercession for them." The Lord is able, the Lord is willing to fulfill his promises, but we forget is that we too have a responsibility. That upon every promise the Lord makes to us, there is a condition or conditions to be met by us. Look at Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 14. "We have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end." Once we make a commitment to Jesus Christ, when we obey the gospel of Christ, we realize that we should shed the old man and allow the new man to live. That's exciting to us when we first get the news of this, that we have hope, that we can have our sins remitted, that we no longer have to be in bondage in the flesh. But unfortunately for some Christians, this diminishes. we lose the excitement. We lose the hunger of being a Christian. And soon some Christians fall away, never to follow the Lord anymore. Oh, they may be present at services, but they're as far away from Christ as can be. Now, because of these two things, because the Lord is able and willing to fulfill His promises to us, and we have conditions to meet in order to receive everlasting life, because the Lord is able to fulfill His promises, and because we have responsibilities to meet, the danger of indifference should not exist in the Lord's church, because the Christian life is one of responsibility, of activity, of being busy. But unfortunately, there are many Christians who have never learned this lesson, this valuable lesson. Unfortunately, some Christians act as though they're in a welfare state. They act as though they are helpless. And those who act and live like that will find themselves outside the gates of heaven, having a lackadaisical attitude, falling into complacency, into lukewarmness, is just the opposite of what Christ expects of His children. There are some areas in which Christians are personally responsible for, but at the same time, the danger of indifference is alive and well in the Lord's church. Unfortunately, there are many Christians who forget their responsibilities to Christ, and that is seen in their actions. I believe that there are a number of things that we are responsible for. Because of the time this evening, we can't get into all of them, but we can examine some of them. I believe that we are responsible for our own personal spiritual growth. It doesn't matter how many sermons are preached, how many classes are taught, how many times someone has to get after you about your spiritual life and your lack of concern about spiritual things. It doesn't matter how many times that you're approached by someone. You have to take individual initiative to grow spiritually. Regardless of the efforts of others, one does not grow spiritually without personal effort. To grow, we all have to take time individually to study God's Word. Look at Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. This is something that we need to take note of. They searched the scriptures daily. They spent time daily in the scriptures, learning about the truths of God, gaining knowledge concerning the things of God. Are we doing that? Are we spending time with God daily, studying His word? Or are we making excuse after excuse after excuse not to open the Bible and read it? Are you the type of Christian that needs someone to get after you to study God's Word? Are you the type of person that needs to be after to pray? Or to obey God's Word? The person who constantly has to be attacked, so to speak. That's the reaction some of them take. You're attacking me. Why are you coming down on me? But if a person has to be constantly told to study God's Word, to spend time in His Word, then that person is plagued with indifference, plagued with complacency. But it doesn't stop there. We not only have to study God's Word, we not only have to spend time in His Word, but we have to obey God's Word. Look at Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 22. And I appeal to you, brethren, bear with the word of exhortation, for I have written to you in a few words. Bear with it. Live with it. Make it part of your life. Don't neglect it. Don't make up excuses to avoid it. But make it part of your life. If you make it part of your life, you will grow. There's no doubt in my mind that if a Christian spends time daily in God's Word, you will see a difference in that Christian. Not only in his knowledge or her knowledge of God's Word, but how they live their lives. The "that's not for me" attitude prevents growth. But I tell you what it does. It produces indifference. It produces complacency. To grow, we need to follow the example set forth in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We talked a little bit about that this morning. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, it says, "Be imitators of me as I imitate Christ." The godly influence can be a powerful influence to another Christian. But the godly influence is no good to the Christian who does not follow. And usually the Christian who doesn't follow the godly influence is usually the one who is plagued with indifference. Personal responsibility and spiritual growth is emphasized throughout the New Testament. For example, look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby." To grow thereby. Do you still hunger for God's word? Do you realize that you need to be fed spiritually as you need to be fed physically? If we understand that, if we understand that the only way we will grow and be as God would have us to be, if we understand that when we read His Word and apply it to our lives and spend time with it, that we will grow. Desire His Word, it says. Are we still desiring God's Word? Do we still appreciate His Word? Almost all of the apostles died for God's word. An interesting book to read is Fox's Book of Martyrs. Those early Christians who would be willing to go through anything for the cause of Christ, or to have a copy of his word. And unfortunately, sometimes we take his word for granted when we can go to any bookstore, go to any Christian's home, and there that word being on the shelf with dust. It's embarrassing. Desire His Word. If you desire His Word, you will study it. And if you study it, you'll grow. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. In verse 5. "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love." Christianity is an ongoing process. It never stops. If it stops, then you stop serving God. It's just as simple as that. And the Christian who stops growing is the Christian who stops serving God. You have to continually get after that individual or individuals about studying His Word and living the Christian life. That person is probably plagued with indifference. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever." So we see the evidence is there. The evidence is there for the necessity for us to grow. The responsibility is there for us to grow individually. Therefore, we cannot escape the consequences of failing to grow spiritually. We are personally responsible to share in the work of the local church. Look at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And in verse 47 it says, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. Upon obeying the gospel, you were added to the Lord's church. But it doesn't stop there. There are responsibilities to meet. And that was all part of God's plan, to join Christians locally for work and worship. Membership in the Lord's church involves personal responsibility. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 22. In verse 22 it says, no, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. The Apostle Paul is revealing to the saints at Corinth that God wants everyone involved, regardless of his or her ability. All is to take part in the work of the church, regardless of his or her ability. There's not a person in this audience that cannot contribute in some way for the cause of Christ. The danger of indifference should not exist in the Lord's church, because the Christian life is one of responsibility and duty. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried away by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, and the cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive. God set certain gifts in the early church. He appointed some to be apostles, some to be evangelists, some to prophesy, and some to teach. And there was good reason why these gifts were in the church. It was to train or to equip the saints of God. The saints were to be equipped for the work of the ministry. And after being equipped, Christians are then ready for the work of the ministry, of spreading the gospel. Ministering is not the sole responsibility of the preacher or of the elders. So that is an unscriptural concept, to put the load on the preacher, or put the load on the elders. According to this text, all are responsible to minister. All are to be involved in spreading the gospel. It's just not one person's responsibility. It's all. Every person in the congregation is responsible to minister. And when all are ministering, growth will be present. And the danger of indifference will not be present. There are many things that we are responsible for as Christians. For example, if a church has elders, each is responsible for proper conduct toward elders. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 12. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. So that responsibility is there. We have the responsibility to preserve unity in the church. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And verse 10. Now I plead with you, brethren, be by the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Here, Paul is telling the Corinthians to be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. There's only one way for this to take place, is if all are involved in God's word. And that's the sole authority for the Lord's people, is God's word. All have that responsibility. It's not just one individual's responsibility or a group. It's everyone. And that's a valuable lesson for all of us to learn. We can all come together and sit in the pews, but can we all come together and share in the work of God? That's a question that all of us need to think about. And if we aren't sharing in the work of God, then we are plagued with indifference. We have the responsibility of supplying financial aid for the work of the church. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16. In verse 1. A very familiar passage, but it's abused when people neglect to give on the first day of the week. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must also do. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper. But there be no collections when I come. Do you give as you've been prospered? Are you consistent in your giving? Did you give this morning? Or did you just pass the collection plate with the attitude, oh, I'll give some other time? We all have the responsibility to give as we've been prospered. And when all of us give as we've been prospered, the work of the church can prosper. It won't be held back. But we all need to contribute. We all have to do our part. Sitting by, watching others contribute, watching others do their part, and you neglecting to do your part produces indifference instead of growth. We have to understand that we cannot run away from personal responsibility. But those who are plagued with indifference will try to run away from personal responsibility. We'll give every excuse in the book not to be involved. But there's two things we need to understand. Number one, we cannot escape the eyes of the Lord. Look at Psalm 139. Psalm 139 in verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. There is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. And the psalm just goes on and on and on, of giving evidence of God's power to know. God knows if we're involved. And he knows when we're not involved. Number two, we cannot escape ourselves. We cannot run away from self. Look at Galatians chapter 6. In verse 5. For each one shall bear his own load. It's a short verse, but it has a tremendous impact. We can't run away from God, and we can't run away from self. We've seen from the scriptures that we have personal responsibilities. We can only run for so long. Maybe we can run our entire lives away from God and away from our responsibility. But at the judgment, we'll finally be caught. Maybe we can fool everyone in this audience of how we really are, but we can't fool God and we can't fool ourselves. Either we're with Him or we're against Him. Either we're involved in His work or we're not involved in His work. We have to understand that we cannot escape individual responsibility. It may be easy sometimes to fool the person sitting next to you, but you can't fool them all the time. You can never fool yourself, and you definitely can never fool your Creator. So what are our options? What can we do with the things that we have learned about individual responsibility? Well, we can do one of three things. We can ignore it, pretend like it doesn't exist, and just go about our lives fulfilling the lust of our flesh and just going through the motions. Or we can refuse not to believe it, reason among ourselves, oh, God doesn't really expect me to do that. He really expects me to give on the first day of the week every week. He really expects me to read my Bible to know more about His Word so I can show others His will. No, God doesn't really expect that from me. We can play all kinds of mind games with ourselves. But that's all they are, is games. And it's a game that we will lose if we're involved in it long enough. Or we can examine ourselves honestly, not pretend or try to hide anymore from ourselves or try to hide from God. And make an honest evaluation of ourselves, of whether or not we are involved in His work. In His Word. Either we are plagued with indifference, or we are growing. There's no in between. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, won't you come and stand and sing?